Psalm chapter 139. Psalm 139. We're going to read verses 17 to 24. 17 to 24. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I'll read verse 17, and you read verse 18 with me, and we'll read down to verse 24. Psalm 139. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And let's pray together. Father, please help me as I teach this truth. Help me to be easily understood, not misunderstood. I want to speak your truth, your way, so your people can be strengthened and helped. We want your guidance. We want your wisdom. We want your direction. Please bless your word to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 21, it says, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred." And I think we've been sometimes taught a cliche that is not Bible, but it sounds warm and fuzzy. God doesn't hate sinners, God hates sin. And that's fine until you read that there are some people in the Bible that are an abomination to God. It doesn't say their sin is an abomination, although that's true too. It says there are some people that are an abomination to God. The person is. And I think when we read Psalm 138 and you read verse 21, I don't know what that does to your mindset, but when it says, "I hate them with perfect hatred that hate thee," I don't know what our mind does. I don't know if we shut down. I don't know if we say, "Well, that belongs in a different time. That doesn't apply to me." But do you realize when you're reading your Bible, when you're reading the book of Psalms, which is the biggest book in the Bible, which is two things, what? Prayers put to music. So the first thing God's teaching you when you read the book of Psalms is God's teaching you how he wants to be prayed to. Right? I know it's the prayers of the Jews in the tribulation period asking God for help. If you say prophetically, where does the book of Psalms fit? It's the prayers of the Jews during the tribulation period. Some of it is millennially applied. Okay, but still, what do you do when you read verse 21? I know nobody's ever seen it crocheted on somebody's pillow. Right? "I hate them that hate thee, O Lord." Okay, with perfect hatred. All right? Normally, it's "the Lord is my shepherd," and I like those verses too. Here in your Bible, I believe God is teaching us a way he wants to be prayed to that I think we miss. And I believe we're supposed to thank God. I believe we're supposed to worship God. That's taught in the Bible. I don't think anybody would argue with that. We're taught to confess our sins to God after we get saved. We're told to do that. We're told to pray and petition our God. And to importunate prayer, or prayer that doesn't stop, or when you take a need to the Lord for somebody else, we're taught to intercede for others. And the word "pray" means to ask, which teaches me this: you haven't prayed until you've asked God for something. You can thank the Lord, but you still haven't prayed. You can confess your sins to God, and you should, but you still haven't prayed until you've asked God for something specific. And John R. Rice used to say, answered prayer should be a daily part of every Christian's life, and the only reasons you don't get answers to prayer is because you don't ask God for things. If I was to ask you, when was the last time God answered one of your prayers? Don't answer out loud, but I hope you could testify and you could say, oh, God did this and God answered this. I asked the Lord for this and God did this in my family member's life. I hope. We've prayed for parking spaces. We've prayed for short lines. We've prayed for health. We've asked the Lord to bless the food. We've prayed for traveling mercies. We prayed for the Lord to help our missionaries and deliverance from sin. We prayed for people to be saved. But let me ask you this. Have you ever prayed for evil to come upon evildoers? That's what we just read in Psalm 138. In the Psalms, God's teaching us, and many of the prayers in the Psalms are against the wicked. I have a method here, and I'll tell you just in a second why I'm preaching this. The type of prayer where you ask God to bring evil on evil people is called imprecatory prayer. And I'm not trying to use a big word, but if you imprecate something, you curse it. So imprecatory prayer would be where you're asking God to curse what he said he would curse and not to bless what God said he would not bless. That's imprecatory prayer. If I gave you a foundation for this, and I know you're with me this morning, but Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 28, it says here, God says, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, acknowledged the curse that came upon God's people when they were sent into captivity. Keep in mind, Daniel's in Jerusalem as a teenage boy. He watches his family get killed. He is taken as a captive 500 miles to Babylon. And he is shown in the book of Daniel why God did that. Why did God send Israel, scatter them, and put them in captivity? In Daniel chapter 9, verse 11, it says, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us. And the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. God showed Daniel, I cursed my people because I promised them I would. If you don't obey me, I will curse you this way. I will send you into captivity and scatter you. I fulfilled my word, right? God promises to bless and God promises to curse, all based on our obedience, right? It's kind of like this. God says, I want to bless you, and if you want me to bless you, push that button of obedience right there. And I don't want to curse you, but if you push that button of disobedience right there, that bag of rocks will fall on your head. So God tells us in the Bible, don't push that button, right? But that's your choice. God says, I don't want that to happen, but this is what I have preordained. When you do right, you get the blessings of God. And when you do wrong, you bring the curse of God upon your life. And your life ends up being a mess, right? So God leaves that to us. God designed things that way. On this truth, God told Jeremiah, matter of fact, take your Bible, go to Jeremiah, watch this. God told Jeremiah, it's amazing, not to pray for his own people. Just follow me through this. We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 7, then we're going to go to chapter 11, Then we're going to go to chapter 14. Just stick with me. Jeremiah chapter 7 and look at verse 16. Watch this. Jeremiah 7 verse 16. It says, "Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up crying or prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee." God says, don't you pray for my people. Now, who is Jeremiah? Daniel and Ezekiel were taken into captivity 500 miles into Babylon. Jeremiah was left behind, right? So he was left with the poor people, and the middle class, per se, the tradespeople and the rich, were taken to Babylon with Daniel and Ezekiel. So God tells Jeremiah, he says, don't you pray for my people. Look, go to chapter 11. That's chapter 7. Look at chapter 11. Look at verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 14. "Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or a prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble." God says, they've disobeyed me too much. They're going to get spanked. I'm going to leave them in captivity for 70 years. That's chapter 11. Go to chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14, look at verse 11. Then said the Lord unto me, "Pray not for this people for their good." Okay, think about that just for a second. Don't ask me to bless them. Don't pray for their good. Okay, well, that only leaves you one option, then pray for their bad, right? That's why when we sing the song, "God bless America," I don't think God can. I wish, of course, I want God's blessing. I'm glad I'm an American. I'm not sad I'm an American. I love the flag. Amen. All that good stuff, okay? But when we sing that song, I think God says, I can't bless your abortions. I can't bless your liquor. The drugs are flowing. I can't bless the pedophilia and the sex trafficking, and I cannot bless the filth. But do I wish God could bless America? Of course I do. But God told Jeremiah, don't you pray for me to bless my people. They have disobeyed me. You're in Jeremiah chapter 14. Go to chapter 17. Go over just a couple more chapters. Watch this. God three times tells Jeremiah, don't you pray for this people. Now watch closely, chapter 17, verse 18. Jeremiah 17 and verse 18. "Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil," watch, "and destroy them with double destruction." What a prayer. You know who he's praying this for? He's back in Israel. He's praying this for God's people. "God, destroy them with double destruction." That's pretty stout. And we're not really... Look, I'm preaching a message like this because when you watch... There's so much that I don't have answers for that's happening in America. When you say, "Pastor, what do we do about..." Okay, they just said on CNN last week, if you're not going to get the vaccine, life should be hard for unvaccinated people. What do they mean by that? What do you mean hard? I thought getting vaccinated was a choice. I thought that was your freedom. You say, well, what do we do? I don't know what we do. So I go, when I say we need to be praying, it's not a cop-out. And I was told that, and I've told you this story before, but when I was, I think, 15, I heard a family member of mine and a church member talking, and they started having a disagreement, and one of them said to my family member, "Well, let's pray about it." And I remember as a 15-year-old boy, I watched my family member, and they said, "Oh, prayer's a cop-out. You just don't want to deal with the problem." And I remember I left, I didn't say nothing, I was a teenager. And I left that and I thought, prayer's a cop-out? I don't think so. That's not what I'm taught in the Bible. If prayer is a cop-out, okay, wait a second. If prayer to you is going in, where you thank God, which is good, and you worship God, which you ought to be doing, and it's confessing your sins to God, which all of us should be doing every day, and it's petitioning God and asking God to work, then if you're not going to pray about what you're bothered about, then I guess prayer could be viewed as an escape, but that's not the purpose of prayer. Satan's at work right now, and God works as people, God's people pray. And if you don't pray, God doesn't work. So when you see evil, I guess if you think, well, it's time to go thank the Lord, okay, that's a goofy way to think. That would be a cop-out. But Christian, this morning's message is on imprecatory prayer, where you pray evil happens to those that are working it, because God promised it. If you disobey, God, didn't you say, those that do an abomination would be destroyed? Then, Lord, those that are pushing this homosexuality on the children, then, dear God, destroy them. That's evil. When you pray, are you pushing back against the evil? Are you, you say, okay, the reason this is different, I don't know what to do right now with what we're watching happen in America other than literally pray against it. I'm asking, and to me it's not a cop-out. You'll hear me say this, I hope, at the end of the message. I think right now, prayer is one of the most important things we do. Do you realize when people get saved, it's because somebody was praying for them? And unless you're praying for them, people just don't, oop, yeah, I think I'll get saved. They get saved because they're being prayed for and God's working in their life. And right now, we enjoy a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, 1 Timothy chapter 2, as we pray. And if you're enjoying no riots, no statues being torn down in our town, if you're enjoying that, are you praying against the evil? Are you, okay, somebody made mention last week, they said, boy, they're getting ready to go door to door about the vaccinations. Boy, they come to my door, they're going to get a gun. I said, now at the time I said, I don't think it's coming to that. I said, I guess it could. I said, I don't think that's the purpose. I think the purpose is to question you and say, why aren't you vaccinated, blah, 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 blah. But I don't think they're coming, I don't think that's happening, okay? But they said, boy, I said, I don't think you need to answer the door with a gun, okay? That may happen in a couple of years. Who knows? I don't think that's happening now, all right? But the going door to door that they're talking about coming from the White House is getting stronger and stronger to where they're even talking about forced vaccinations. Well, nobody's putting nothing in my body without my permission. A doctor can't even give you a physical without your permission. They can't even go, okay, say, They can't put it, they can't do that. And nobody's doing that just for the principle, no, this is my body, and I don't want that junk in there. Amen. Okay? So, you say, why would you preach a message like this? Because, okay, take your songbook. Can you keep your Bible? Just keep it open on your lap. Take your songbook that's right in front of you and go to hymn 392. I'm just trying to drive home a point this morning. But when you look at song 391 in our hymn book, beautiful old song, sweet hour of prayer, right? 391. Don't do it. But if you asked any Christian, when was the last time you got on your knees and it was an hour until you got up and you didn't fall asleep, the answer would be few and far between. Most people say, when I kneel down to pray, after 5 minutes I get bored and I don't know what to pray for. It's because you don't have a prayer list. It's because you don't have a purpose in your prayer. I think if you just took our missionary list, amen, that's good grief, 15 minutes right there. If you were properly thinking, okay, here we go. Let's go back to the song. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. Very few Christians know what it's like to pray for an hour. It's a great song, and if we aren't careful, it's only going to be a song. When we sing the songs, it's supposed to be teaching us. And I would think in these perilous times that we're living in, times when nobody has answers for the questions. I don't have answers. I would think we would be praying more, but we're not. You know what happens? When you get overloaded, your body goes into a protective mode, and you either bristle up and you take the challenge, or you're like, ooh, I need to shut down. And most people shut down when there's too much pressure. It's called fainting, right? What's a faint happen? When overwhelming news happens, right? The woman is told this, and then, what's that? It was too much information. What are we told in the Bible? Don't faint. Instead of saying, oh, there's so much going on. I mean, there's this and this and my goodness, the evil of this. Christian, I think we're supposed to know what's going on and then take it to God in prayer. Not just asking God, Lord, please help me today. Do you push against the evil? Do you pray that evil comes on evildoers? Okay? Now, with that in mind, we've looked at the song. You can put the songbook back up. I hope it touches your heart. Watch this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Mary, Queen of Scots, said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than the whole European army. Why would a queen say that? Because I know what John Knox preached. Now, he was Presbyterian, but he would still say, you better do right, because the last person you want me praying against you is me. I'll pray God kills you. You better do right according to the Bible. And the Queen of Scots said, I fear that man's prayers more than the whole armies. Do you know why? Because John Knox knew imprecatory prayer. That's why all this war on Christianity, we'll shut down the churches, we'll shut down the... Careful, you don't want me praying against you. This county owes this church a big thank you that it'll never get, because we're a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church. We're a lighthouse to the community. And we bring blessings to this county that they'll never see. I would not oppose this at all, because if I find out they're trying to shut us down or they don't want us to have church, we'll learn some prayers this morning that I will pray. Watch this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I think every home ought to have, you heard me say last summer, I got to buy my dad a shotgun. I think every home ought to have a usable way to protect your home. I think you have a biblical right to self-defense. Amen. And with them bussing in illegals all over the country, they're taking them by the busloads and letting them go. Criminals, and they want us to give up our guns? Are you kidding me? The violence is escalating. Home invasions are on the rise. No, I think every home should have a way of protecting itself. Amen? I think that's common sense. I think it's scriptural. But this says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. A gun won't help you against the devil. I don't care how sharp your machete is, it ain't going to help you against the demons of hell. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I don't care what, jiu-jitsu, Kwon Do, one bad dude. It doesn't make any difference. Okay? I don't care. You can't punch Satan in the nose physically. If Satan fears you, it's because you pray against his works. Right? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. That means if I pray properly, prayer is not a cop-out. It is something Satan fears. What the demon-possessed man tell the Jews that were trying to cast out the demon? Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? I like that old statement. Who in hell knows you because you pray? Who in hell fears you because you pray? against the works of Satan and against people that are doing evil. Look, when you pass the strip club or the beer joint, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm not supposed to go there at 2 a.m. and burn the place down because I'm taking a stand for God. You're an idiot. But when you pass the beer joint or you pass the beer truck or you pass the strip joint or you pass the, then you could stop and pray, dear God, please destroy that. Lord, destroy it, the homes that that's wrecking and the people that it's hurting. Dear God, bring, Lord, you said you would curse that. So please destroy it. That's a biblical prayer, right? They're not carnal, but mighty through God. And what's it say here? Casting down imaginations, verse 5. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In our society, it seems like everything is trying to get God out of it. It seems like it's okay if it's ungodly. But if it includes God, it's, you know, either racist or extremist or it's old-fashioned or it's illegitimate and it seems like God is trying to erase God from our society. All this transhumanism, you know, you need, you know, chips implanted in your head so that you can get the waves and download information into your brain, and that's happening now. The transhumanism, God didn't make you fast enough, so you need to have us change you. And all of this, God made no mistakes. How about the transhumanism? Look, they're taking autistic boys and girls and mongoloid children and talking them into sex changes. We've always been taught you help the mentally weak. You protect the mental. You don't take advantage of them and exploit them and use them for your cause. Okay, it was evil before. That's, to me, one of the worst evils. How do you hurt a child, period, let alone take advantage of a emotionally damaged or chemically imbalanced? A retarded child's supposed to be protected, not hurt, right? But that's what's happening now all across our country. When I find that happening, and they're for it. They're like, we need more, and they're pushing it all across the country. It's to me, it's horrifying. You say, what do? I hit my knees and I say, dear God, destroy them. That's so evil. Dear God, you said that's an abomination. Curse them. Please. I'll get more specific. Watch this. Here we go. If you take an imprecatory prayer, okay? We rejoice in justice being served, but God or we don't rejoice when anybody dies and goes to hell. That's biblical, right? God doesn't enjoy judgment. God doesn't enjoy execution of his laws to the point where people are killed. But I will say this, May 1st, 2011, when Osama bin Laden was killed, justice was served. I wasn't sad. I'm not glad he went to hell, but I was glad justice was served. When August 10th, 2019, when Jeffrey Epstein was murder-suicided, okay? I personally don't care how he died. I know he was murdered. Justice was served. I wasn't sad when that happened. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, September 18, 2020, she's a wicked woman. Justice was served. I'm not glad she went to hell. I don't rejoice in that. I rejoice in justice being served. I rejoice to see, yeah, she knows God's real now. She's known it, what, September? 9 months, she's been burning in hell. She knows he's real now. Not a doubt in her mind. An imprecatory prayer is where I, as a child of God, say, Lord, if they're not going to be saved, then dear God, destroy them. Of course I want people saved. God says he wants everybody saved. I could show you that two places in the Bible. But God, if they're going to keep fighting you and if they're not going to be saved, then dear God, destroy them. That is a weapon of prayer that I don't think is used very much. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you find that there's people delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, God tells us to separate from those that aren't living right as a form of judgment. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "The Lord reward him according to his words, his works." And then in Galatians, it says, "If any man or any angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed and damned to hell." It says that twice in Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. Now, wait a second. That is God saying, this is how I will judge those that don't do right. There are 7 imprecatory psalms in your Bible. Psalm 35, Psalm 58, Psalm 59, Psalm 69, Psalm 83, Psalm 109, Psalm 137. These psalms express God's vehement anger against evildoers. And we know it's biblical, but it's hard to grasp in an unbiblical Christianity when, look, where else are you going to hear a sermon like this? And I'm not trying to preach something weird this morning that you won't hear, but in a society where God is love and God doesn't send anybody to hell and everybody, this type of preaching, I'm going to show you it's in the Bible over and over and over again. And I don't know what, the only thing I can think of is people aren't reading their Bible. Or if they are reading, it's just going, boo, right over their head. But this is a warfare. And to me, I'm living in times I've never lived in before. I don't know what to do except I want God to know. I like what Brother Grady said. I want God to know I'm on his side. Amen. And when evil happens, I want to fast against the evil. I want to push against the evil that we're watching happen. I can't change the world. Here we go. So imprecatory prayer this morning is petitioning God to judge the wicked. It's praying for evil to come on evildoers. Here we go. These are not prayers of a selfish person who's trying to get his way. These are prayers of spiritual people who want to see God's will done. These are not prayers of a bitter individual trying to get revenge. These are godly saints who want God to display his justice. When you pray imprecatory prayer, it's not the prayer of an uncompassionate, unfeeling, sadistic person. It's the prayer of one who wants evildoers to be stopped from hurting other people. You know, I was talking to somebody and I said, as horrible as it is, all these libraries that have the homosexual drag queens reading stories to toddlers, I don't know who's committing more evil. The drag queens reading to the children or the parents bringing their kids? The parents are back behind. Have you seen the pictures of the stupid libraries where these queers are reading to these kids? How does a parent bring their children to a pedophile and say, here, dance and do all, I'm going, what in the, I don't know who's doing more, I'm not for any of it. But that's what's wrong with our society. There's parents that sell their kids to Disney. This is sick. I mean, it's because our society is the breakdown of the home. These are not prayers of a powerless slave who's against human authority. These are prayers of kings who are relying on God and the powers of government to execute wrath. These aren't prayers of a child asking to be relieved of his suffering. These are prayers of a warrior who's asking for adversity to be defeated. These are humble, heartfelt prayers that depend on God, help for prayers of sensitivity, a healthy prayer of maturity. It's an honest prayer of transparency. It's a holy prayer of justice. I want to give you 3 neglected prayers that desperately need to be prayed by God's people. Go to Psalm chapter 5. Watch this. Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5. I've never seen so much evil to pray against before. I mean, it's like we're like blind dogs in a meat house, biting any direction, and it's all systems go. So it's like there's this tsunami of evil. One prayer that needs to be prayed. Look at verse 10, Psalm 5, verse 10. Ready? Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Have you ever prayed that God destroys anybody? I'm not talking about people that mistreat me. I'm not talking about people, you know, if you knock on a door and they say, you know, I don't want anything to do with church. I'm not talking. I pray for those people. Dear God, save them. Just because they give me a hard time, that doesn't make... This prayer is for those that oppose the work of God. Have you ever asked, dear God, destroy them? If they won't be saved, destroy them. This is warfare weaponed. You understand? This is the weapon of prayer that is not used by many Christians at all. Okay? Watch this. Go to chapter 28, Psalm 28. Look at verse 4, Psalm 28, verse 4. Psalm 28 and verse 4. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. That's because they deserved it. Dear God, destroy them. Let me show you one more place. Go to Psalm 35. Psalm 35. I'll say it again. I think one of the most important things we do right now in this day and age is prayer. I know you need to be thanking God and worshiping God, but when do you say, dear God, break the evil. Destroy them. Watch Psalm 35. This gets so extensive. Look at verse 1. Ready? Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me, saying to my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded or confused, and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid from me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. We have families in our church with children that are concerned with all of this talk of health and medical tyranny. Could they take our children? What type of an evil person would do that? I've talked to you. You've talked with me about it. My answer is this: I'd pray against them. Anybody take somebody's children because they're not getting vaccinated? Your kids had a COVID test. Have your kid? None of your business. And if you're vaccinated, what are you worried about? If a stupid thing works. It's because it doesn't work. You take my kids from my house. You don't want me praying against you. I promise. God's keeping the books. God is my defense. That doesn't mean nothing bad will ever happen to my family, but I promise you, you don't touch my family. You don't touch my church. If you could pray, dear God, destroy them. Let their destruction come suddenly. Let them not even see it coming. Isn't that what we just read? Do Christians, I'll say it again, when you read Psalms, God's teaching you to pray. This is how I want to be talked to. I don't think this is the only prayer you need to pray. I think if this is the only prayer you pray, okay, that's out of balance too. All right? If you're praying for God to kill everybody, I think you need some balance in your life, okay? But I think this is, in the day and age we're living, this is my answer of what I believe I'm supposed to do as a Christian in the evil days that we're living in with what we're watching happen. Okay? That's Psalm 10. That was Psalm 35. Here we go. I got one more. Go to Psalm 58. Go to Psalm 58. When I hear names like Alicia Garza, Patrice Kahn, Callers, Opal Tometi, those are the founders of Black Lives Matter, and they said, we are communist, we've been taught this, our ideology is against capitalism, we are trying to break America. We are funded by George Soros. George Soros said, I hope I go down in America's history as the one that destroyed America. Okay, when you got evil people like that, and they're on the news, you say, what do you do, Pastor? I hit my knees and I pray, dear God, if they won't be saved, then destroy them. The people that they're hurting, I want to push back against the evil. And I pray scriptural prayers against them. Here's another prayer. So the first prayer was this. Because justice must be given, dear God, destroy the wicked. Prayer number two. Dear God, righteousness must reign. Therefore, destroy the wicked. Look at Psalm 58. You're in Psalm 58. Look at verse 6. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. What a prayer. To me, that seems like the worst part of a car accident. I've been in car accidents, but if my teeth, when my teeth get broke, like, you know, and I hate dentists, you know, and the smoke and all. Okay. Break their teeth. This is a prayer against the wicked. Dear God, break their teeth in their mouth. Wow. This is a prayer of judgment against the wicked. Watch this. It says, break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually when he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows. Let them be as cut in pieces as a snail that melteth. Let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman that they may not see the sun. Go to Psalm 109. Ready? Psalm 109. This gets stronger as you go through the book of Psalms. I hope a message like this morning would add to your prayer life. And I like making this statement. I hope this changes the way you pray forever. Most don't pray this way. And if there was ever a cause to pray against the evil that's happening, it's now. Because we've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Right? God knew. God knows where we're at. God knows what's going on. And God put us here, I believe, to get his help. Look at Psalm 109. Look at verse 6. Ready? This gets really strong. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. You know, he's praying, dear God, send him to hell. If he won't be saved, let his hell be hot. God can take care of that, right? Look at verse number 8. Let his days be few, and another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Watch. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. You know what he's praying? Dear God, destroy them for the evil they want to do, and then, Lord, destroy their family, destroy their children. Sound like a Hunter Biden story? That's all they raise up there in Washington, D.C. is perverts. It's getting sick. I'm not trying to turn you into vengeful. I'm trying to say this is an aspect of prayer that needs to be prayed, but very few. Okay, let me ask you a question. When you pass the strip club or the beer joint, do you ever play, dear God, if they won't be saved, destroy their family, destroy that place, destroy their home? See how come I had to lay a foundation for this? You just jump right into this. Turn to Psalm 109. Everybody would be, I'm just trying to tell you, this has changed my life. And it's helped me. Look at that Psalm 109. I'll let you finish. Let's go on to the third prayer. Go to Psalm 69. The third prayer that needs to be prayed, I believe, is, dear God, your glory must be supreme. Therefore, destroy the wicked. Destroy the wicked. Look at Psalm 69. Ready? Look at verse 22. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. That's another prayer. Dear God, destroy their home. Does everybody see how much this is in the Bible? This isn't like, you know, two passages taken out and made extreme. This is over. And that's why I don't know what people do when they read their Bibles and they read these passages. Are they just going, okay, that's for a different time? It's for you. How are you supposed to apply that? And as many times as we read it, I don't know why this, I've never heard a message on this before. And I've been saved 35 years. I would think with this being this many times in the Bible, somebody else should be preaching on it. Amen? Unless I'm a weirdo, which I probably am. Okay? I forgot. So you got Psalm, so you have, this is another place. How about this? Let's look at, here we go. Go to Psalm 83. Psalm 83. Psalm 83, and look at verse 13. Psalm 83, and look at verse 13. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, if you use them right. But if you never pray that way, if you never push against the evil, that's why I think family after home after home after home needs to be praying. When you see the evil, when you hear about it, oh, what are we going to do? Hit your knees and pray against it. Dear God, destroy them. Dear God, confound them. Break them. How about that prayer? Break their teeth in their mouth, oh God. But where are Christians pushing against the evil? I'm going to close with this verse, James 5:17, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It avails. And God doesn't work when we don't pray. You can hope all you want. You could wish things were going back the way they were all you want. God doesn't work until you pray. Now my next question is, what are you praying? When do you pray? And I would think if there was ever a time to be asking God to help us and get involved. Look, I want to stay faithful till He comes. Amen? I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But so few are praying. And I'm like, I hope a message like this helps us focus. And I hope you feel empowered when you leave church. Well, what are we going to do about it? We need to go protest. You can if you want. I think you'd be more effective if you'd get on your knees and pray. If you opened up your Bible, I think you'd accomplish a lot more. We need to go petition the abortionist clinics. You can do that if you want. I think you'll get more accomplished if you'll pray against it. Because the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of Satan's strongholds. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, Lord, this reminder. This helps me so much. And I wish these people, Lord, each person, to be helped.